From Skagway, the route goes over White Pass, through British Columbia, and into the Yukon. In 1898, the majority of the 100,000 Gold Rush Stampeders used this way to find their fortune. In 2009, over 1,000 Alaskans and Canadians traced the same route, not for gold, but for a different kind of fortune, the finish line in Whitehorse, located along the banks of the Yukon River. It's the spot where teams like Smokin' Old Geezers, Soggy Joggers, Rum Runners, the Dynamite and Soapy Smith's Woolen Breeches, and over 100 other teams congregated to cheer the final runner of their relay teams. For many teams, the journey of the Klondike Road Relay lasted well over the 15 or more hours it took to complete the race. For members of one particular team, the journey started in Wrangell, Petersburg, Juneau, and Whitehorse. Meet team in the now. Here they are before the race. Leg 1 runner Jen said she was excited to start off the race, even though her leg was 8.8 miles long, climbed 1,400 feet in elevation, and would be run in the dark.
I get to get done first.
Coming from Whitehorse, Stephen was the team's lone veteran runner, having done the race many times before. But this time was different. He didn't know anyone on his team.
I'm tired of running with the same people year in and year out, so it's kind of exciting for me. I do admit I feel a little bit like a traitor, being from Canada, but this event is all about fun, and you know, I'm happy to run with Americans.
Mary from Juneau talked about advice she received before running in the Klondike.
Just finish. That's the main thing that I got from it. Don't go out there to try to win anything. Just finish.
Fellow Juneau resident Sarah talked about what would keep her going during the race, even if she wanted to give up.
It'll definitely be the team and not letting them down. If I'm on my own and I'm running for fun, I've oftentimes just stopped and walked. The team will keep me going.
Zach from Petersburg described where his mind goes when he runs.
I think about life. I think about what's going to go on next in my life. I make all my important decisions.
Captain of Team In The Now, Scott of Wrangell, said various worst-case scenarios ran through his head prior to the race.
There's just so many weird logistics to a 10-person relay in the middle of the night that I don't know which one plays through my mind the most, but several different scenarios do play through my mind.
Amelie from Juneau explained what she's most looking forward to after the race.
Ice cream. I probably will eat a lot of ice cream. Maybe with some brownies.
Leg 8 runner Kevin explains why he's always wanted to do the Klondike.
I've never been up Lincoln now. I've never been to Skagway or Whitehorse or any of this stuff, and I've never run over 3 miles before, so I wanted to kill as many birds with one stone as I could.
Ryan from Wrangell talks about what his inspiration will be during the race.
I actually really hate running, so I think that my drive to continue running is contingent on how much I hate what I'm doing. You know, it just drives me to keep going.
And Dustin is the team's finisher. He describes the nervousness that often comes over him before a race.
For the most part, it just feels like you might throw up, but to be honest with you, it stays with you for the first little while, but it burns off.
The first heat of the Klondike Run took off Friday at 7 p.m. with a signature Skagway send-off. In the Now had to wait over 4 hours until their Klondike experience began. The race starts in Skagway, but 80% of it is run in Canada. And runners aren't the only moving objects seen on the road to Whitehorse. A multitude of RVs, buses, vans, and vehicles decked out in Christmas lights, signs, and paint serve as support for the teams. Sometimes they are seen following a couple feet behind the runner, but more often they are seen pulled to the side of the road with hazard lights on, awaiting their runner to pass. By 5:45 a.m. on Saturday morning, Sarah was just finishing leg 4 for Team In The Now. Immediately after, she said her run felt pretty good.
It was beautiful, the first part especially, when the moon was out.
Yeah.
Then it got cold. Then I was tired of running.
For every team on the Klondike, organization is key to being successful. What leg everyone is running, how many support vehicles to have, who should sleep when. For Megan Fries, one of the organizers of the entire race, there are many more logistics and details to consider. With over 100 teams and 300 volunteers, planning usually starts a year in advance. But after 26 years, Freese says the race often runs like a well-oiled machine. She says the highlight of the Klondike is all the excitement it creates.
It's such a build-up to this event, and it's everybody's so excited to be here. It's neat to meet people from all over, and everybody's just so pumped. Like, everybody's in costumes and excited at the start line, and it carries on right through till the end of the dance on Saturday night.
Throughout the 110 miles, excitement is contagious, especially at the Carcross checkpoint, where the runners have just completed a 16-mile leg, the longest leg of the race.
How was it?
I think I had about trained for about 12.
Skagway resident Buckwheat Donahue has been organizing the race for the last 24 years. When asked if the runner's journey had anything in common with the Gold Stampeder's journey of 1898, Donahue says,
"No, there isn't. You know, I'm sorry, but there's no comparison. These guys aren't hauling 2,000 pounds of gear over the pass, right? You know, they don't have to make 15 trips up and down, and only going 3 or 4 miles at a time, right? You know, and then come back and start it all over again. And yeah, it's a heck of a lot easier these days, right? You know, but the same spirit is there."
It was spirit, team spirit, that propelled Dustin, in the Now's final runner, to complete the last 12 miles of the race and cross the finish line 15 hours and 52 minutes after it all began.
Yeah, Dustin! Woo!
In Wrangell, I'm Lisa Fu.